Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. Game time decisions. We are live on a Monday night right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh with you for the next 2 hours as we try and set it up, knock it down. We have played real college football. Saturday, CFT began. Myself, Joe Lisi, Ben Stevens, Florida State upset. We handled that on Sunday. And as somebody who was not in on FSU to win the ACC, that game was music to my ears. We are marching towards, though, the true week one of the college football slate. We're going to have Deion Sanders playing on Thursday. He's not playing, he's coaching. But Deion's boys are playing. Shador Sanders, Shiloh Sanders, Travis Hunter in the mix. We also have Rutgers football and a ranked NC State in action. It's actually a pretty packed slate on that Thursday. Mizzou's going to get going, so we got a lot to get into for you when the time does come. But we've got to enjoy the remaining days where here on a Game Time Decisions, we can get into the baseball, we can get into the WNBA, because college football, again, it's right here. And the NFL is fast approaching. We had big NFL news today around the Dallas Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. And I want to get into that with the people here. But I figured let's get a pick on the board. And I mentioned baseball. I mentioned WNBA. Let's bring them together. Let's do a little parlay for the people. Why not? A little quick pick style. Give me Caitlin Clark over 2.5 made threes with Juan Soto to score a run. That's your quick pick parlay there, plus 148. Caitlin Clark has been scoring a lot more than since the All-Star break, 29, 23, 23. There's an uptick in volume here from the three-point line for Caitlin Clark, and it does not come with an uptick in efficiency. That will change at some point. She still made three-plus threes in every game since the return against Atlanta tonight, who, at least from a spread perspective, is the easiest opponent the Fever have seen since the All-Star break. I do think Caitlin Clark could really break out from beyond the arc tonight. If you want to go after it, 4+, 5+, 6+ is at plus 650. I think the threes will reign for the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year. The Juan Soto breakdown is simple. He's back home in Washington. And he has a good matchup against Mitchell Parker. A lefty-lefty reverse split dream. Mitchell Parker against lefties this year gives up a .289 batting average. Juan Soto is batting .295 against lefties on the year. I expect Soto on base, whether that is by a hit, a double, a walk, hits himself a home run, scores himself. But behind Juan Soto, he's the very best player in Major League Baseball, without a shadow of a doubt. That's Aaron Judge, my oh my. Two home runs again yesterday. He's up to 51 home runs and 122 RBIs. Second in batting average, first in OPS. Judge is out of his mind right now. All Soto has to do is get on base, and Aaron Judge will do the rest. So that is your quick pick parlay. We go from the Yankees to the Cowboys. Pretty appropriate, of course, the most popular teams in their respective sports. And the Dallas Cowboys today finally got the deal done with CeeDee Lamb. And getting that deal done for Dallas is certainly a nice sign. Yet it is confusing to me as to what took so long. They didn't end up getting some discount, right? For CeeDee Lamb. He's the second highest paid non-quarterback in football. And again, that's fine. I don't think anybody sees that salary and knocks it, right? $136 million for 4 years. But how was this not already done? Right? It wasn't clearly CD wasn't holding out to pass up Justin Jefferson. So what? Why? And I'm sure for Cowboys fans today, they're not asking that question. They don't care, right? They've got CeeDee Lamb back, one of the very best wide receivers in football. Certainly, I think many would have him slated top five. At times, I don't know if people realize how loaded wide receiver is. Like, you can just flippantly, he's one of the three best wide receivers. And it's like, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, okay. Right? Listen, he's one of the five best, right? Easily one of the 10 best wide receivers in football. Dallas would argue he's clearly one of the two best. Kept him under that Justin Jefferson number. But again, for Dallas, why did this take so long? Why was this deal done so much further out than the deal that was done for Justin Jefferson and Minnesota Vikings? It's odd. Because for Dallas, you knew that this was going to be the result. And you let it drag out. And again, people will tell you, what does it matter? Well, it does matter. When this deal gets done, and the follow-up is, all right, now we wait to see what happens with Dak. It just doesn't feel like it's clean for me. I'm sure CeeDee Lamb's incredibly excited. He should be, right? Set for life. And Dallas is happy to have him. But the issues that we saw in getting that deal done smoothly, for me, it still speaks to the fact that you can't really trust this operation fully in Dallas. The Cowboys were smashed over the offseason by a lot of people for Jerry claiming to be all in while not approaching things all in. And one of the things that this team did was stick with Mike McCarthy when a lot of people believe Mike McCarthy's not good enough for this team to win a Super Bowl. You know, the Dallas pricing has dropped a little bit year over year. They're down to 18-1 to win a Super Bowl. Compare that to the favorites in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers. That's 6-1. How about the Detroit Lions? 12-1. Even the Eagles creating that separation, 13-1. And Dallas is one of those teams that when you are out there doing your preseason preparation research for futures, right? Week to week, you'll pick your spots. Fantasy players are drafting CeeDee Lamb without a care in the world, right? But if you're placing futures bets, win a conference, win a Super Bowl, win totals, this Dallas team has consistently been able to win with Mike McCarthy, but not to the level that the roster suggests, and not to the level that the expectations around them have been. This is the first time the expectations have been pulled back. This happened last year with Buffalo. And I ended up betting the Buffalo Bills last year to win a Super Bowl. And what was this kind of trending downward season? Flipped around and then boom, all of a sudden they win another AFC East Divisional Championship. Divisional Championship. It leads to a round one rout of the Steelers because that's what Mike Tomlin does. He gets Pittsburgh in, and then they get to get embarrassed. And then ultimately what happened for Buffalo with this core? Well, sure, not as good as the Chiefs. Same story, right? Despite the down nature of Kansas City, despite the rolling nature of that Buffalo team, they fell short. So it just feels like today is a good time to remind the people and maybe somewhat myself who loves a buy low spot, a bounce back spot, a look at this number, that the number on Dallas may jump off the page. But when you see CeeDee Lamb get his money today.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try, M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
Instead of that inspiring confidence that the boys are back, it's a reminder. Why did this take so long? Oh, yeah, because this is how Dallas operates. And if is going to stay the same as they've been for years now, it means no matter what that regular season shows us, they will fall short and disappoint again. We'll be right back. Get over to that baseball board next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back with you right here. We're on Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you on this Monday night. We mentioned Juan Soto, Caitlin Clark, a little quick pick parlay for the people. Some other spots you're going to see me involved in tonight on that baseball board. And under at Coors Field between the Rockies and the Marlins there, Cabrera against Feltner. Look, neither guy's a superstar, but their numbers are a little bit better over the last month of baseball. But I'm willing to play an under 10.5. Obviously, not their lineup is spectacular. So I went under in that game. And I did play a little Cubbies money line. They're going to go up against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. Jameson Taillon, I think, is in a really, really good bounce back spot. And I'm looking to sell high on Mitch Keller off of 7 shutout innings in the last time we saw him take the mound for the Pirates. Speaking of the Pittsburgh Pirates, anytime we talk Pittsburgh, you know a Paul Skeens conversation is not far away. Paul Skeens, the first overall pick in the 2023 MLB draft. We've seen him make his debut. We've seen him be a star who came off the board. Second was Dylan Cruz, his teammate at LSU. Dylan Cruz tonight will make a debut for the Washington Nationals. You see the fourth pick there out of Florida. That's Wyatt Langford, who we've seen play baseball this season already for the Texas Rangers. And, man, expectations for these kids are high. Wyatt Langford was right near the top of that AL Rookie of the Year board entering this season. Paul Skeens didn't start the year, otherwise he would have been a big favorite to win NL Rookie of the Year, and Paul Skeens has certainly been able to go out there and get himself as the favorite. It's rotated a bit with the Jackson Merrill stuff, but man, Paul Skeens had moments where he was nearly an NL Cy Young favorite. Now for Dylan Cruz, starting here nearly in September, he's not going to be favored to win any awards, but can this Washington Nationals team be play on for the rest of the way? The Nationals have now added over the last 2 months or so, not just Dylan Cruz, but another one of their top prospects in James Wood. All of a sudden for the Nats, the idea is they have guys that they believe heading into seasons to come will be great. But the reason we put Dylan Cruz there up against Wyatt Langford and Paul Skeens is those guys have been met with immediate expectations. Dylan Cruz is no different. Dylan Cruz bats second tonight for the Washington Nationals. And trust me, I'd love here to hand wave that fact and tell you, come on, anybody could bat second for the Nationals. Again, the lineup has some guys. C.J. Abrams bats leadoff, and again, the Nationals are going to hope next season that'll stay the same, and it'll be Dylan Cruz wreaking havoc right behind him. And you'll notice the Dylan Cruz props tonight, they don't come cheap. To record a hit, minus 175, two plus bases, plus 145. A hits for an RBI prop in the market checks in at minus money. You can see some sizzles there. If you'd like, the home run number is 6-1. If you're looking to play that RBI, it is at plus 190. I am personally sitting back on Dylan Cruz props. The matchup does not work. You might see righty-lefty with Nestor Cortez going here tonight for the New York Yankees, but Dylan Cruz, through his stint so far in minor league baseball, has not been good against left-handed pitching. He's just not. Batting comfortably under 230 so far in his minor league career against left-handed pitchers. With that said, I don't know if tonight going up against a funky delivery in Nestor Cortez is where you want to run to the window on Dylan Cruz. So I would be cautious. I can't play unders. We've just talked about it's minus 125 under 1.5 hit run RBI. I don't like that for a guy batting in the two hole. And it's not like Nestor Cortez dominates right-handers, right? He's far worse against the right-handed side of the plate than the left-handed there. So I backed off in that approach. The numbers for tonight flash the Yanks as favorites on the road in this Cortez-Parker matchup. Minus 184 on New York. Totals 9 here. And certainly, as I mentioned, this is a good spot for Juan Soto. Lefty-lefty splits working in his favor, batting better than 290 against lefties, and Mitchell Parker allowing opposing lefties to bat about 290 as well. I put Soto in that parlay for a run scored at minus 155. I thought that was a worthwhile number with how hot Judge has been from behind the dish, and the hot hitting from Aaron Judge has helped the Yanks create a tick of separation over the Baltimore Orioles and the American League East. Look, the Red Sox and the prices have suggested are well out of this thing unless a collapse happens. Plus, they're going to have to get red hot to jump both the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yanks. But the Yanks are now up 2 on the loss column. And it's one of the more fascinating things for me. And this is where I would listen at least to an argument that when you're wrapped up in it locally, it makes everything feel bigger than maybe it is. Of course, you know we're operating right here in New Jersey, my roots within New York, a Yankee fan. We hear so much, Yanks are a disgrace. They're terrible. Nobody can hit. Nobody can pitch. New York Yankees have 77 wins. I think maybe the Dodgers have one more win. Nobody has more wins than the New York Yankees in all of baseball. The Baltimore Orioles are the second best team in the American League. The Yankees are ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. So for Baltimore, is there massive panic? Well, it will set in if they keep dropping games and that American League Central just keeps getting the job done. Seeding in the postseason is not something that we make a mountain out of due to the nature of the more recent postseason performances. But the Baltimore Orioles are only 3 up on both Kansas City and Minnesota. It's only 2 in the loss column. Again, like the Baltimore Orioles are as close to being the last wild card team as they are close to being the first place in the American League East if you just go off loss column, which I was raised to always be told is the most important thing. It's just something to keep your eye on with an Orioles team that I entered the season very high on. I still think absolutely can make the run, but their deadline was nothing more than a disaster. Trevor Rogers just got lit up in minor league baseball the other day. And that was one of their main acquisitions at the deadline. Some key matchups today in that wild card race. None bigger probably than Guardians and Royals. That's a doubleheader. This is game number 2 with Cleveland at home positioned as a favorite in that one. I know late night it is the Mariners and the Rays. We've also got some...
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's TRYMEOW. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
Boston and Toronto coming up for you. We'll get that WNBA slate in the mix next on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here. We're live on Sports Grid. It's a Monday night. We have Adam Kaplan coming up next with us here to talk some of the NFL news and notes. The CeeDee Lamb deal certainly is going to be a topic of conversation. So we will get into that a little bit with Adam Kaplan here. Also, the Patriots quarterback situation looks like that is getting a little interesting as well. So all stuff for us to keep eyes on and talk to Cap with. Before we do that, we do have a three-game board of WNBA tonight. And it features Caitlin Clark, who at last look the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, yet that market no longer available, interestingly enough, looking over on FanDuel. And I don't know with full confidence that's because they believe the race is over, because Aja Wilson's minus 3,000 price to win MVP is still listed. And Angel Reese has since left this All-Star break with putting up now three consecutive 20-rebound games. You want to talk about a miss? Yesterday, I was on Angel Reese's under 13.5 boards. She nearly cleared that by 10. She was closer to doubling that prop than hitting my under. An attempt to sell high did not work there. Again, Angel Reese's work on the glass has been phenomenal. Her efficiency has been atrocious. Back-to-back games, shooting 25% from the field. Some of the Aja stuff has been kind of interesting to watch play out because her great rebounding numbers, some of it is tied to her inability to finish layups. And we saw that play out in a game where this team lost to the Vegas Aces, despite Vegas shooting under 40% from the field and shooting 25% from three. And Aja Wilson, who was also really, really good rebounding the basketball, but from an efficiency end of it, was awful and offered up one of her worst games of the season. 28 field goals for Aja Wilson to score 20 points. Again, the favorite to win MVP. We do not see that. Fromage. We just don't. And yet for the Sky, their offense just did not hang in this game. And some of that is tied to the inefficiency that you can get from Angel Reese. But again, is that why we've seen this number come off the board? I can't tell you 100% yes with certainty. But we know that Caitlin Clark has been positioned as a big favorite, and I think Caitlin Clark's in a great spot to have another really, really good game. I mentioned I'm playing her over 2.5 made threes in that Juan Soto parlay, but I would be more than willing to play her threes over 3.5 at a plus 135 price, and I think you can continue to chase that number up higher and higher. A breakout game is coming for Caitlin Clark in terms of the three-point shot. Now, a part of me wonders, is this the game here against Atlanta? It could be, and you don't want to miss the boat. But if we look up the upcoming schedule for Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever, you would imagine that Caitlin's best games will be at home, right? She's been really, really good at home this season. The Fever been much better at home this season. They are at Atlanta, home against Connecticut, at Chicago, at Dallas. The one home game in that stretch is against the Connecticut Sun, who are the best defense they will play in this stretch. For some, maybe the best defense in the entire WNBA. After that game against Dallas on the 1st, it is a Wednesday at home with multiple days rest against the LA Sparks. That could be a circle spot. Now, the worry is you end up a little late to the window, right? Maybe that's a spot to play 30-plus points, which is around plus 450 tonight. If Clark doesn't get there, Again, that Sparks game could very, very well be a target spot. Caitlin Clark actually already has a 30-point game under her belt this season against the LA Sparks, but I do think she'll be really good tonight. Late night, the Mystics are going to Seattle. They're catching 9.5, and then the Phoenix Mercury are going to host the New York Liberty. And I'm going to play the Phoenix Mercury here. I think it's a really good spot here on a 6.5-point spread for Phoenix. The Mercury have been great at home. They're 9-4 straight up. And in those 13 games, they've only lost by 7-plus points once. They have played the New York Liberty twice this season, once in their own building. They won that game by 6, and another time at the Liberty, where they only lost by 3. And the Liberty this season have not covered a game following a loss. Inflated number, people looking to bet them in an angry spot, and we get a chance for the Mercury to cover that spread. We hit a break. We come back. It's NFL news with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live on SportsGrid, and the NFL season is fast approaching. Joining us now, NFL insider Adam Kaplan. Cap, great to talk to you here on a Monday night.
Yeah, it is. Look, we've got the cut down of 53 at 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Then practice squads on Wednesday. And then we can look forward to week one with that great slate of Thursday. And yes, first ever Friday night game.
Yeah, in Brazil, the Eagles and the Packers. I look forward to that one. One thing, Cap, that we know for week number one, the Dallas Cowboys now fully expect – no reason not to have CeeDee Lamb out there. They paid CeeDee Lamb today. I'm still a little confused as to why this took so long, considering the result is him basically getting about anything you would have expected, a little less than Justin Jefferson, but obviously a ton. What did you make of the news coming down with CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, look, he's been at it with the Cowboys, him and his agent, Torrey Danny. They've been trying to get this deal done. CeeDee, though, technically did hold out because he was on his fifth-year option, so he was under contract. But as I've told Pharrell 2 months ago, this deal will get done. It's the first of the three to get done. It will get done by the time they play in week one, and it got done, and he'll start practicing with them over the next week, and he'll be ready for week one. But, Kevin, I would say this, though. They got to see what he looks like. Yes, he's definitely going to play week one. That's not the issue. The issue is there's football shape and there's physical shape. As I understand it, he did work out on his own, but until they get him into practice, you don't know how many snaps he could handle week one. And this, by the way, was the most productive NFL receiver last season in receptions and yards, and he puts up massive numbers. In an offense, Kevin, they're going to throw the ball a ton because they've got a older Zeke Elliott as their starting running back.
Yeah, speaking of running backs, I mentioned week one for Dallas. They're playing the Cleveland Browns. We found out today Nick Chubb will be out the first 4 weeks, Cap. Was that a surprise to you? And what are the expectations in Cleveland for Nick Chubb this season?
Yeah, well, he hasn't practiced. He's been rehabbing. The rehab's going very well. So the way it works on PUP, physically unable to perform, you have to miss games, not weeks. He has to miss a minimum of 4 games. He would be eligible to play in the 5th game. So what they'll do, they'll assess where the knee is at. That was obviously one of the worst running back injuries that we've seen in the last 25 years. And the fact that he's still going to be able to play this season is a great thing. They redid his contract a little bit, put some incentives in it. We'll see. Look, they don't know what he's going to be able to do once he comes back. They've got Deontay Foreman, who, by the way, has got a rib injury. They've got Jerome Ford, who did a great job at the University of Cincinnati filling in last season. Nyheim Hines, they've got a lot of running backs on that roster, so they'll be okay. Deshaun Watson, by the way, with a shoulder, he's good to go here. But the big story is that Nick Chubb will be back later this season. Again, not a surprise. Everybody knew this was going to happen.
Now, I want to ask you about what's going on in New England. This is, I don't know if it's surprising, Cap. My take on this is probably different to a lot of people, but what do you make of this battle or not battle between Jacoby Brissett and Drake May for the job?
It's actually a battle. No, this is fascinating. So, Scott had asked me, Pharrell had asked me on Coast to Coast early in training camp, you know, what's the issue with Drake May? I said, look, he's very raw. He was the furthest away of all the rookie quarterbacks from being ready. And it kind of played out that way for the first 3 weeks. But the last 2 weeks, Kevin, he's really come on. And give Gerard Mayo credit. He did say a couple weeks ago, listen, Brissett's ahead, but we're gonna leave the door open. If May outperforms them in the rest of training camp and the preseason, then we'll reassess. Well, guess what? He's reassessing. They're going to make this decision by the end of the week. So whoever's going to start in week one, presumably at least for the first quarter of the season, will get the most, if not all, the first team reps. But here's the thing with May. It was never from an athletic standpoint or size, arm strength. He had all that. But there are a lot of parts of his game that really had to get refined. And that's why most NFL people thought, you know what, if you could not let him play until late in the season. But here's the thing. We know they're not going to be very good, most likely. What you want to do, if you think he could handle it mentally, the ability to play in week one as a rookie quarterback, as a high first-round pick, third pick overall, if you think you could handle it, you put him in there and you let him take his lumps. He's going to turn the ball over. He's a very aggressive thrower. He's a little bit raw. He's not always he's not always looking at it and seeing what he should see. And he also will bail from the pocket from time to time. That was his issue coming out of North Carolina, but he's super gifted. He's on a team, again, that's not going to be very good. They're not very good at the receiver position. We'll get into one of the guys that they released not too long ago in a minute. But the bottom line is with the Patriots, they're in a semi-rebuild here, particularly on the offensive side of the football.
So that's the part where, again, I feel like I probably differ from a lot of people, Kat. But if they are in a rebuild, which they are, why does Drake May need to see the field week one? I know this isn't how the NFL works, and this is probably too much of my NBA roots, but who cares who gives you the best chance to win week one or week two? It's all about what gives Drake May the best chance to be a franchise quarterback, and if that is not him playing in week one, then don't even let him show up to the stadium, quite frankly. Why do we always rush this stuff, Cap?
Not always, though. Not always. I remember coming to this business, 25 years. Remember Patrick Ramsey, the first-round pick out of Tulane for the then Washington Redskins? And they rushed him. Ramsey was not ready, and it kind of ruined his career. So that plays to what you're talking about. But over the last 10 years or so, you're seeing a lot of rookies play. Sometimes it's very uneven, but they're able to handle the ups and downs. When you're working with a quarterback, when you get to know the player, you figure, okay, I'm with this guy every day. I'm kind of living with him. That's the coaching term. We're together every day. We're in the meeting rooms every day. We're interacting personally. You get to know a kid. And if you think he could handle what's going to be more downs and ups, you throw him in there because, Kevin, at some point you got to get experience. And by the way, look, let's say typically what teams used to do is let's say they're a bad team and they don't want to start the quarterback immediately. They wait till they're out of the playoff race where there's no pressure, and they put him in.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, if you start him now, what is really the difference? It's all it really is mentally, do you think he can handle it?
My only thing, Cap, is, and I know the situations aren't the same, but Mahomes sat basically his whole rookie year.
Yeah.
Jordan Love out of Utah State, a lot of people had a lot of questions. I think he led college football in picks that year. I know there's not even many people in Green Bay who care about the years they lost on his rookie contract since he worked out. If a guy works out, he works out. So it's just so interesting that so often there is, and yes, not everyone rushes, but people are like, oh, Jacoby Brissett's terrible. Get Drake May in there. Who cares if Jacoby Brissett is terrible? You mentioned former Patriot Juju Smith-Schuster. Ends up signing in Kansas City.
Yep.
What do you expect that wide receiver room to or maybe pass catcher room is the better way to describe it, of course, with Kelsey.
Yeah, and this is done for a couple reasons. Hollywood Brown's coming back from a shoulder injury. They kind of escaped the Chiefs with that one. There was a fear that could be much worse. It's not. He's not working yet, but there's a chance he plays week one. And then you've got the potential, of this season Rashee Rice getting suspended for the pretty significant off-the-field issue. So with the drag racing issue, so they got to get through that. And they're very young at wide receiver. And remember, Juju Smith-Schuster signed a one-year deal 2 years ago for $4 million with a lot of upside. Didn't quite work out. It didn't work out with the Patriots. And as I reported at the time the Patriots cut Juju, this is crazy, but this is how much the Patriots didn't want him. They still owe him $7 million, fully guaranteed. His base salary with them this season, before they cut the contract, is worth $7 million, but they still owe him that. And that's the bottom line. They didn't want him on the roster. They didn't think he could help them anymore. So they kind of do where they think he is. But bottom line is, the Chiefs need a veteran on that roster badly, and he's going to give them some veteran presence.
Yeah, it's going to be really...
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
Interesting to see if Mahomes is ripping it more this year, and if everybody kind of, you know, rotates. Oh, this is the Xavier Worthy week, or oh, there's the Hollywood Brown week, or Rashee Rice, and it's going to be a really fun season for Kansas City, I'm sure. It always seems to be. Cap, we appreciate it. We'll talk to Joe Madden next right here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, live right here on Sports Grid. It is Game Time Decisions on a Monday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. We've got Major League Baseball right now with three games underway and more quickly approaching. To help us break it down, it is Joe Madden. Joe, great to talk to you. Let's get right to it because we have the Yankees in Washington against the Nationals with first pitch rapidly approaching. What do you like in this game?
This is a tricky game here. You look at both of these teams, and they struggle to hit lefties. And we've got Cortes Jr. coming out here for the Yankees, and we have Parker for the Washington Nationals. If I was going to take anything in this one, I would take it to the under. I do think this is a lower-scoring game, but we know how hard it is to bet an under when we have Soto and Aaron Judge in the lineup for the Yankees. Both of these players have the ability to hit those home runs, and if they get those grand slams, this game will go over that total. So I'm a little cautious with this under, but I do lean to the under. That being said, I've got a gut feeling we might have the upset out there on the diamond tonight, Kevin. I'm leaning towards the Nationals being able to get the win with that plus money.
Let me ask you quickly, Joe, the two games that did just start, because people could probably still get in with the live betting markets always up and available. The Pirates are at home against the Cubs, and the Phils at home against the Astros. Zach Wheeler's going in that game. Did you have some action in those two?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought this was a short price for the Pittsburgh Pirates in this matchup tonight. I took them straight up on the money line as well as their team total over 4.5 here. We look at Talion coming out here for the Cubs, and he's been lit up over his last couple, and I do think the Pirates can light him up. And when we look at the Phillies, I love this matchup versus the Houston Astros. I rode with the Houston Astros in their game yesterday. But I do think this is one where the Phillies can get the win. I don't trust Blanco coming out here for the Houston Astros, and I'm going to fade his strikeout props. Now, I did a same game parlay in this because the strikeout props were juiced to that under. I took him under 5.5 strikeouts, and I combined that with the Phillies in the first five on the run line, laying a half a run at minus 152. When you combine those two together, if you can still get it in, it's coming in at plus 140 pregame here. Zach Wheeler has just been phenomenal. Strong for the Phillies. I do think this is one you could look at the Phillies on that run line for the full game if you can't get those bets in, Kevin.
All right, good stuff there. Again, we will follow the live updates for those games as everything starts to trickle in. Moving a little bit later on into the window, we have the Boston Red Sox at home. Favorites, they're going with an opener in Zach Kelly. It's going to be Jose Berrios going for the Toronto Blue Jays here. What do you like in this game, Joe?
Yeah, looking at this one, Toronto starting Barrios out here. I do think he doesn't stay in this game as long as we've seen him in some other games. We look at him over his last three starts, and he has been pretty strong, being able to go seven innings in each of those. But I don't expect him to in this one. I do think, though, the Jays will be able to get the runs on the board here on the Boston Red Sox. Both of these teams offensively have been clicking as of late. Nick Pivetta is supposed to be coming out here for the Red Sox, and I'm expecting them to be able to hit him. I'm looking at the Jays team total, and I went big on the Jays yesterday, taking that run line in the first five innings, Kevin, and I was absolutely kicking myself because in that sixth inning, they were able to get that separation and cover what they should have covered in the fifth. So a little bit more cautious with the Toronto Blue Jays today, taking their team total over the 4.5. It's coming in at plus 114. I'm going to look at Vladdy here to be able to get that home run. He's coming in at plus 350, and I think he has every ability. If you just want to look at the RBI here, I don't blame you. That RBI coming in at plus 110, but he's been able to go yard on Pivetta three times in his career, and he's gone deep in three of the last four series. So I do think Vladdy for that home run, he's just behind Aaron Judge and one of those players who's had the most home runs over the last month here.
And this is one of those series just from the wild card race. The Red Sox have to handle business.
Yeah.
I know Arizona's red hot, but if you're the Red Sox, you cannot let a team come into your building and sweep you, and that's exactly what just happened. They now play four in a row in Fenway Park against the Toronto Blue Jays, and then go to Detroit for three. After that, it's the Mets for three on the road, which is certainly not easy, but it's followed by three at home against the Chicago White Sox. That is three of four series you will be favored to win, seven of those games at home between Toronto and Chicago. If it's going to happen for the Red Sox, it has to be now. We'll see what they're able to do over the course of these four games. Joe, how about the Minnesota Twins going up against Max Fried here in Minnesota with Bailey Ober getting the baseball?
Yeah, I love this pitching matchup here. I think it is very strong. And now we saw the Twins lose that game yesterday to the St. Louis Cardinals in a game that they really should have had. They absolutely need to get this win, and they need to find a way to get to Max Fried here. I do think this is a lower scoring game. Ober has been phenomenally strong. I'm going to look at this one to stay under that total of 8, coming in at a solid 8 at minus 120 to the under. I do think Ober can go over his strikeout prop. Now, this is asking a lot at 6.5, but you're getting plus 120 to the over. His outs tonight, you can't even bet them. There's way too much juice. The books have it at 17.5 out, minus 192 to the over. So I do think the strikeouts come into play. I think the Twins can get the win with Ober getting the start. And I just look at the Atlanta Braves. This team has been having a hard time getting those runs on the board already. So low scoring game here, Kevin, with the Twins having the edge.
One of the things that could help this game be low scoring is the way Minnesota sends their lineup tonight. Of the nine batters, 8 will be hitting from the right side of the plate against Max Fried, who's, of course, a lefty. And people might hear that and think, oh, wow, righty-lefty, they've certainly lined this up nicely. Well, it's late August, so splits matter, and the sample size against righties is much bigger, but in 378 at-bats against right-handed hitters, Max Fried's opposing batting average allowed is 201. Against 101 at-bats against left-handed hitters, it's 347. I mean, he's been smashed this season by lefties. I know that people feel, you know, you got to be careful with, again, what can be smaller sample size, and you want to go off of guys' careers. This is one of those games that I really want to keep an eye on, especially when the margin for error is going to be a little bit tighter, and we're betting baseball in the postseason and things of that nature. What does this lineup look like tonight, specifically against Max Fried, where Royce Lewis, it's Carlos Santana, it's these guys that can certainly hit lefties, but Max Fried himself has been really, really good against right-handers. I think it's going to be fun to find out. We're hitting a break. We've got Joe Maddon. He's keeping it here, helping us break down more of tonight's Major League Baseball card on Sports Grid.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we've got a matchup between the Chicago White Sox and the Detroit Tigers. Ty Madden makes the Major League Baseball debut against the worst team in Major League Baseball. 100 losses already for Chicago. What do you look for in this one?
Yeah, with Davis Martin coming out here for the Chicago White Sox. Now, he has had solid numbers out there, but the problem for Davis Martin with his numbers is he's not getting any run support from the Chicago White Sox. And even though they're facing a Ty Madden who is making his debut here, I can't back the Chicago White Sox in this one. We look at Ty Madden, and his ability to get those strikeouts in AAA was phenomenally strong. Now, the books are not giving us any strikeout props, and I was really hoping I could find it somewhere, Kevin. I just wasn't able to. I do think this is a play for the Yerfie in this matchup. If it comes from Chicago off of Madden, or if it comes from the Tigers off of Martin, I don't care. That Yerfie coming in at minus 128, I think either of these teams has the ability to get a run in that first inning. And at minus 128, I think it's a nice way to go. Now, I do think the Tigers can give Ty Madden the run support here. You're looking at him coming in at plus 116, or sorry, the Tigers coming in at plus 116 to their team total, to the over 5.5. It's a lot of runs to ask, but we have a game total right around that 10. So I do think the Tigers can get it done.
All right. Some love there for Detroit in this one here going up against the Chicago White Sox. Joe, what about a game tonight at Coors Field with the Rockies and the Marlins here? It's Ryan Feltner against Edward Cabrera.
Yeah, Cabrera, I'm looking for him to come out nice and strong in this one. For the Miami Marlins, I'm going to play on his strikeouts here. That's coming in at 5.5 at minus 142 to the over. He's got a strong ability to get these strikeouts here on the Colorado Rockies. We look at him, and yeah, he's 2-5 on the season with a 5.65 ERA, but he has been able to record 73 strikeouts in 65 1/3 innings pitch. So I do think those strikeouts are coming. I don't have faith in the Colorado Rockies to have that pace out there. I think there'll be the swings and misses, and he'll be able to go over the 5.5 strikeouts, Kevin.
All right, some love there for Cabrera in this matchup. Late night, we have the Rays and the Mariners. Seattle, again, if you want kind of perspective on just how bad the Mariners are, the Rays are very much so not in any type of playoff race, and they have one fewer win than the Seattle Mariners and the same amount of losses. And the Mariners are very much supposed to be in the hunt. And I'm not talking preseason. I'm talking about right now as things stand. Some of that is obviously credited to the way the divisions stack up. But, Joe, what do you think about the Mariners here? They have Bryce Miller tonight going up against Tampa Bay.
I think the Mariners at home are an interesting look in this one. I really like what Bryce Miller does bring to the table. He's been strong for this team. And we look at him over his last 8 starts. He's gone 5-3. I do think his home ERA, I trust him here at home. We send him out on the road and that ERA is higher, but at home, it's a 2.09. His last 3 starts as well, he's been phenomenally strong. That ERA has dropped down to a 1.06. I think he can do enough here to limit the Tampa Bay Rays. The problem with the Seattle Mariners, we keep saying it, and even though they put some runs on the board this weekend, this team continues to struggle offensively. So I think they should be able to get it done. I'm leaning towards a Nerfy in this one. I think we've got a strong pitching matchup here between these two teams, and I'm expecting both of these teams to take a while to be able to get those runs on the board. So I'm going to play the Nerfy. It's coming in at minus 136. I like the under 3.5 in the first 5 innings as well. That's coming in at plus 100 if you're looking for some plus money. I'd be cautious of the under seven. This one kind of has the smell of extra innings written all over it for me, Kevin. And we know when we go to extra innings, that's where unders come to die. So I'm going to stay off the full game to the under, but I will take the first five under the 3.5 as well as the Nerfy.
All right, we also have a Nerfy in Pittsburgh. We have a Yerfy. Guardians get two off of Jose Ramirez double. And the first two batters get on. Bryce Harper grounds out into a double play. Not how he drew it up, Joe, but a lot of games left. Best of luck to you tonight on the baseball board.
Best of luck to you too, Kevin. Thank you.
All right, we've got Coach James Young coming up next. The WNBA slate is full. Caitlin Clark is on it. What is Coach like? We'll find out next.